Hello and welcome to Stardrop Tea,
a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
I'm Shirley.
And I'm Hillary.
And I'm so excited to be here with all of you.
We're going to be brewing up some stories, secrets, and a whole lot of speculation from Stardew Valley.
Welcome to part two of the Abigail deep dive. In the last episode, we went over her heart events and additional information about what she likes and cares about. And in this episode, we'll be going over the relationship dynamics that she has with the other villagers in town. Enjoy!
All right, two-parter, character deep dive.
Yes, we're talking about some of her quotes, which tell us so much. Everyone's quotes are really insightful to the character, but also additional other relationships that they have with other people.
Yes.
So she's got some of them where she's just asking us, like, do we hang out at the cemetery? She says it's a peaceful place to spend some time alone. And no, I don't, Abigail. The only time I'm at the cemetery is when I'm going into the sewers to meet my main guy, Krobus. So,
yeah.
Before he moves in with me. Because otherwise, he's just there at home.
In the sewer.
So there's that aspect of it. And then there's also a lot of quotes about her and her relationship with her parents. So the fact that they don't understand her, they don't get her point of view. We talked about it earlier. Like, obviously, there's kind of a generational difference. Would you consider Pierre and Caroline to be boomers? Or you said earlier, maybe like a late Gen X?
They feel like late Gen X. Yeah. So. Yeah, but I think, again, I don't think we're on Earth, so I think, like, the Earth events that created the baby boom, for which the boomers are named, I don't think they would have happened.
Yeah.
Spiritually, like Gen X.
Yeah, and also no one ages in this game. As we continue to have birthdays for the other characters, they don't actually get older. She also says to us, one thing I've learned about living here is that everyone stares at you if you look different. Mm. And that tells me she's not connecting with other people in town. They're ostracizing her a little bit, but she's been there her whole lifetime. So that's just really weird for people to be staring at someone who they've lived with forever.
Yeah, and like, does that come down to her, like, dyeing her hair purple?
Because, like, is that it?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, Emily literally has blue hair, seemingly naturally. And, like, Caroline, her mom, has green hair.
Is it because she's pale?
Is it because she's pale? Write in stardropteapodcast@gmail.com.
I have no idea, but apparently she's feeling very othered, so that's obviously quite sad. And then she has all of her quotes about just being really curious and wanting to be adventurous. So if I knew how to use a sword, I would be exploring those caves by the mountain lake right now. It's probably nice and cool in there.
Aww.
I feel sad for her because we know how that plays out later on in her future. Mm. And one thing that we talked about in the 1.7 episode was the potential to have, like, a little boat. She asked us at one point, do you think you could build a raft? I saw a few cool islands on the way here I want to visit. And this is when we are headed toward Ginger Island. Again, I want to be able to explore the spaces around Pelican Town. I think that would be incredible. And a little boat where I could be at choice. Because right now, when I get on the boat, it's only Pelican Town to Ginger Island.
Right.
What about the other places that she says are on the way?
Yeah, and, like, we've touched on that previously when we were talking about the map. Is, like, what are the other islands? The existence of one island implies the existence of potentially other islands.
Yeah, usually there are clusters around this rock formation, because a lot of islands are formed through, like, volcanoes being underground, pushing.
And we know there's volcanoes, certainly.
And then when we're at Ginger Island, she says, an island this big has got to be hiding some buried treasure. Quick, get a shovel. Relax. Just kidding. And I'm like, you know, but also, get a shovel. Like, what's in the sand here? Is it the golden walnuts? Is there something better? Like, let's get that treasure.
Mm-hmm. That's my girl.
I love how her quotes change as you progress in the heart events. After the 6th heart event, she has a change in her demeanor where she'll be so much sweeter. Not that she's very rude. She's, like, Haley, in the context of all the bachelorettes, I think is probably the rudest one that you interact with. Quite hostile, similar to Shane, in, like, how Shane is quite hostile with the farmer. And Abigail is okay, more so ambivalent, like, only thinking about herself. But she'll say things like, you came all this way to visit me? That's nice. Oh. So have you been exploring the mountain caves at all? Interesting, I'd like to go there myself one of these days. So she wants to feel included.
cute.
In the events and the things that I'm doing. Ugh,
literally come to the caves with me.
Yeah, please. You're invited.
One of my favorite ones, the one that is, like, in my opinion, so queer-coded, is, I'm just going to use the word farmer for our name. Oh, farmer. Hi. Want to hang out for a while? Let me read your palm. And then giggle is That's called
so
out.
So funny.
So gay. So queer. Oh, look, oh, my hands are so small. Yeah. Let me read your palm. Let's touch our hands together. Hands on hands.
I would have been much more open to a palm reading versus the Ouija board situation that we went through.
100%! Because a palm reading is just you and me. A spirit board, who knows?
1,000 ghosts around us.
1,000 ghosts. Minimum.
A minimum 1,000 ghosts.
And they're talking about me and they're pointed right at me.
Then she also says, I've been daydreaming a lot. You want to know what it's about? Well, it's a secret. It's about me.
So mysterious.
It's about me. Just don't lie.
Just tell me.
You're literally dreaming about me. I get it.
Okay. And then the next one, so cute. So normally, Abigail hates the summer. She loves when it's rainy. She loves nighttime. She is just a cool, dark little troll girly. And this was so adorable. She says at one point, after you get 6 or more hearts with her, quote, I'm actually enjoying myself this summer. It's funny how quickly one's outlook can change. Aww, so cute. Mm-hmm. And like, she normally says stuff like, summer's here, it's not really my favorite season. The air is so muggy, I feel like I'm floating in soup. So, big difference.
Relatable. I feel like...
Soupy?
I mean, growing up in Florida, like, the summers there felt like a brick wall of... Soupy. Soup air.
Yeah.
And I did not like that, so okay. I get it. Hey. Love how she'll say things like, it's the weekend, that means I can play twice as many video games, bye. And I completely get that, because most weekends I just want to relax.
Absolutely.
And play this game.
Yeah.
Or something else, but probably this game. One thing that I think we should totally do is, she talks about at Ginger Island, Gus made her a dark purple refresher to match her hair. It tastes great. What do you think is in the dark purple refresher?
Okay, so I actually have an answer kind of immediately. There's this gin that is a Canadian-made gin called Empress Gin, and it is dark purple. It is made with butterfly pea flower. Number one, it's a great gin. And it's not like an English gin, it's more like an American gin. So English gin, very perfumey. American gin, more botanical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an American style. It's purple. It changes color to pink if you put tonic water in it. But I would use that, and I would do, like, maybe not a tonic water, maybe not a gin and tonic, because I wouldn't want to alter the color. But that plus, I mean, soda water for refresher. And then, yeah, some, like, fruits and citrus. Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, the purple can come from the blackberries.
Blackberry, yeah, definitely. Too.
And if we're also thinking about, like, a mocktail situation or a little lemonade kind of thing, when I think of refresher, I'm usually thinking about a lemonade. Because
right.
A lemonade is really refreshing.
Ooh, yeah.
So a blackberry lemonade...
Big time.
...is delicious. Especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. I think that sounds so good. You add in... You make lemon out of lemonades.
We're making lemons
out of lemonade, and you make this really nice sweet drink. So I think that is what Beautiful. She's getting, and it sounds delicious.
Little, like, sprig of mint on there. Mm-hmm. Little sprig of mint. Ugh. And, like, one thing that I love doing in the summertime is just putting, like, the smallest little pinch of salt into drinks.
Very hydrating. Like,
yeah, little electrolyte situation in there, and then it also just bumps up all the flavor. So, dark purple refresher.
Yeah, I think in the summer, because it is about to be full winter here,
yeah,
where we are, I think that's... Maybe we can make this any time, but really...
A dark purple refresher, that's going to hit on the hottest of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I found reading in the quotes, she's in school.
What is she studying?
Like, that what is that never mean? Disclosed. Never.
What do you think she's studying? Because I immediately have an answer.
Okay.
Geology.
Oh.
I think she's studying geology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she's studying English literature.
Yeah. So, sociology.
Yeah. She's really into...
Econ.
She's in sales.
Oh, she would suck at that.
She's taking after the family business.
Woof.
The general store. Yeah. She's in sales.
She's in crypto.
She's in crypto.
She's in financial technology.
Please write in, what do you think that Abigail is studying? But yeah, she's in school and she doesn't get a lot of sleep. So she complains about not getting a lot of sleep. But I mean, also, I always meet her at night. Like, I can tell you're not sleeping.
Thank you. I was just going to be like, when do you sleep?
Yeah. Some of it is within her control. So there's that. But yeah, she talks about she's putting off homework all weekend. Looks like another all-nighter. And then she asked me, like, oh, are you taking a break from work? Me too. Nothing physical, just some online classes I'm taking.
How have I never noticed any of these?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's rich context. Mm-hmm. What is she studying?
Truly.
What is she doing?
Yeah, and online classes.
Yeah.
Where? At the school of what?
Yeah, where's the school?
What's their sports team? Go what?
Go sports.
Go wild. Go, it's the fighting.
Sports.
What is it?
The fighting.
Junimos.
No, the Junimos would not be the fighting Junimos.
All right, fine.
What would be the sports team? Well, there is that sport that's not football in the game that people reference.
Handball? Is it handball? Kickball? No, it's not kickball. Gridball.
Gridball.
The tunnelers.
The tunnelers. Wait, there we go.
So are the tunnelers? I was thinking about... Okay. This is a whole thing. I was thinking about sports in Stardew Valley, which we're going to talk about another day, because there's like gridball is mentioned. The tunnelers are mentioned. There's graffiti pertaining to the tunnelers. Yeah, we don't have time. What is she studying? Write in stardroptpodcast@gmail.com. Where does she go to school? What is she studying? Online classes. What is her course load? What kind of certificate or degree do you think she might be working towards?
Yeah. Do we have student loans in this world, or can everyone go to school for free? God, because I would love if everyone can go to school for free. That would be the most ideal case.
Yeah.
And I think that she's, again, English lit, which is phenomenal. Sociology. Mm-hmm. I also think she could be studying like the cult. Her mom probably would have studied like herbalism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot there.
Or like some kind of botany situation. Mm-hmm.
She never really talks about botany. So I do think geology, like you mentioned, would be a great choice. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, she could also have combat theory. There's a lot happening. But yeah, we get pretty much nothing further beyond that. 1.7, where does she go to school? Can I visit her school? She finished. And this is something that's wild to me. In a later quote that we'll be discussing really quickly, it kind of seems like she stops going to school when we get married.
I hate that. Oh, I don't like that one bit.
Mm-mm. That would not be ideal at all. Abigail is in school, potentially not liking it, because she's obviously not paying attention enough or like procrastinating enough that it's not that great. But I get it. Like, school can be hard.
Yeah.
And when I hear about school the next time is actually from her mother. I really want to get into the drama with her mother because it is intense.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about that. Stay tuned for the drama with her mother because, boy, is it dramatic.
Oh, boy.
And if you have drama with your mother...
Ugh, go to talk to your therapist.
Yeah, we're not licensed. Before we talk about her mother, there's only two other characters besides Pierre, which, honestly, I don't even want to talk about him.
No one.
Because yeah, I don't I care. Know. So if you were waiting to hear about Pierre, too bad. Not happening this episode. But before we get into her mother, she only really connects with two other characters in this game. Okay. Sebastian and Sam.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They are in a rock band together.
Love.
And she's a drummer. What does Sebastian play? Like, the keyboard?
Yeah, I think so.
So Sebastian is doing a keyboard, electronic, synth thing. Sam is playing a guitar.
He is.
Yes, and Abigail is playing the drums. So they're in a band together, which is awesome for them. There are a lot of theories that potentially they are in a throuple. And by a lot of theories, definitely I mean me.
I mean,
we've talked about it.
I'm in a throuple with Sebastian and Abigail.
Yeah, so you would know about that. And people think that maybe the three of them are dating. I don't think so. No? I don't think she's dating Sam at all.
I agree. Yeah. Because... And not just because I'm not dating Sam also, but I genuinely don't think that they're in a romantic relationship.
And not just because I'm not in a parallelogram with them. It's because in the quotes that she has about other players, which is really just Sebastian, Sam, and her mom and her dad, when I start having a relationship with Sam, which I believe is just that I've given him flowers, she says to me, hey, I heard you and Sam got together. He's a really good guy. We've been friends for a long time. You better be good to him or you'll see my bad side. Like,
yeah, that's big sister energy.
threat received. Yeah. But that to me does not feel at all like I'm dating Sam, don't date him.
No, no, no. That's like, that's big sister energy.
But what did she say about Sebastian?
Oh, that's a different story.
Because you're dating it? Sebastian. She's got words for you.
I sure am. So when I began dating Sebastian, and then I did, you know, go to check in with my girlfriend, she said to me, I heard you and Sebastian started dating. I didn't realize you guys had a thing. That feels different than the Sam comment. It feels
completely different.
Yeah, because that's like, oh, I didn't realize, like, you never told me.
Yeah, like, that, oh, how serious are we talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, what dating? Like, for how long?
Yeah, like you played video games with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
You rode his motorcycle?
Yeah. Well, and yes, actually.
guilty.
Yeah. He's experienced in riding a motorcycle, which is the only way that I would get on someone's motorcycle.
Yeah. But also, how serious is she with him? Has she...
Great question.
...pointed a ghost at him?
And we don't know what kind of joystick experience. So after the Six Heart event, you mentioned that it changes their schedule, mm-hmm. that they don't hang out anymore, mm-hmm. which is really sad in my opinion.
Yeah. After the Six Heart event, according to the wiki,
yes.
And please feel free to email us and be like, you're wrong, because I accept. That's fine.
I would love to be wrong about
this.
I would love to be wrong.
But according to the wiki and my memory, once you hit Six Heart events with either of them, then she will, instead of hanging out with him, she'll just be by the bridge that's near Jojo Mart.
That is so sad.
That eventually becomes the movie theater.
But so sad.
Yeah. If you marry Sebastian, to that dialogue also signals that she's into him. What does that say?
This is so sad. This is so sad. Congratulations on the marriage. I guess that means Sebastian won't be moving to the city like he always talked about.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Oh my God. Like, oh my, it goes on. That'll be nice. I'd be kind of sad if I never saw him again. We've always been good friends. This is heartbreaking front to back.
Yeah.
Like, why would, oh my God, there's so many things. Number one, I guess he won't be moving to the city like he always talked about. That sucks. Yeah. Like, so, okay. I'd be kind of sad if I never saw him again. Why does him moving to the city mean you will never see him again?
You know where the bus is.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This, yeah, bizarre. I need to know everything about their relationship from specifically Eric Barone.
Yeah. This game also paints marriage as a terrible thing because it really changes the schedule of the people that we married.
Yeah.
They stop having relationships with some people. And it also feels like we alter their life for the worse.
I don't like that.
We've destroyed their hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
They're not moving to outside of the city. They have defended us against monsters that they potentially were not ever ready for. And that's just two people we're married
with. Yeah. Yeah, that is such a bummer. And, like, there's so many things about this game that I really love. And I'm like, yes, that is good representation. This is not one of them.
Yeah.
This is not one of them. I'm like, how did my schedule change when I got married? Spoiler alert, folks, I'm married. You don't think somebody wasn't going to lock this down?
Oh, you're talking about in real life.
Yeah, I'm talking about in real life. But truly, like, how did my schedule change? I went on vacation for a week for my honeymoon. Then I came back and resumed my normal schedule. End of list. No, if you're not going to, if a relationship with somebody is not going to improve your life, like, what are we doing? Are we trying to be happy? Isn't that the point? Folks, write in. Is that the point?
What is the point?
Yeah.
What is the point of anything?
Folks, meaning of life, write in. startout2podcast@gmail.com.
If you could just tell us what you think the meaning of life is, please. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But
and marrying someone, making an eternal promise to someone, and not being like, we are both promising to make each other's and our own lives better every single day. What are we doing?
Apparently what we're doing is that you will never be able to leave the city. And if you had hopes and dreams to do something else, too bad, you're stuck in the house. And so that's happening. But I also just really don't like that she really has no relationship with the other people in town that are her age as well. Like, I don't ever see her interacting with Maru, with Penny, with Emily. And even at the saloon, like, she walks in and she goes immediately to sit on the couches, but she mm-hmm. never interacts with Emily or anyone else there. And, or Leah. And I feel like
or she... Or Elliot.
Anyone. So I feel like she... Girl, talk to the people around you. Maybe you could feel a little bit less lonely. But, you know, not to victim blame her at all. It also would be great if she could have a bigger connection with anyone else.
And, like, I'm thinking about this with, like... I mean, her and Emily are very different. But I'm like, I don't know, you... A couple little weirdos. You both love weird rocks.
First of all, they could literally just form a little geology club.
Yeah.
Because Emily loves amethyst as well. She also loves a bunch of other stuff.
True.
Haru loves diamonds. Penny loves the... Complaining. The green one. What's the green one?
Emerald.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think that they could all be interested in so many other activities, and I would love if they interacted with each other more often.
Yeah, I would love to see more connections there.
The other time I remember Abigail interacting with Emily is a cutscene for Emily where people are trying on different clothes.
Yes.
And Abigail does try on an outfit, and she comes out as a knight in, like, a full metal outfit.
What?
It's very cute.
Oh my gosh.
But
everything I learned about this girl, I'm like, what was I supposed to do?
I love you. Please. Ugh. But yeah, I would like for her to have deeper connections with the other characters. That'd be phenomenal. Because the connections that she has right now with female characters are fraught. Yes. That is because it's primarily her mother.
That's true.
Are you ready to talk about...
Oh my god.
The big one.
I'm wondering if her relationship with her mother has impacted her ability to have relationships with other women.
Folks, write in.
Folks, write in. StartupTpodcast@gmail.com. Has your relationship with your mother impacted your ability to have relationships with other women? Anyways, I don't know. Content warning all over this bitch.
Yes.
Here we go.
Get ready to lay down. Yeah. This is really tough because I see so much of the relationship that she has with her mother reflected in the relationship that I have with my mother, and I'm sure many other people have. Our very first interaction with Caroline, we start off with her talking shit about her daughter.
Yeah.
And potentially at this point, we might not have even met her daughter.
Yeah. So I'm just being, a stranger, am hearing from this other stranger about a third stranger in the way that sucks. Oh my god. Okay, when we first meet Caroline, she says to us, "Hello, you must be Farmer, the new farmer. I'm Caroline. My husband runs the general store here. And have you met my daughter, Abigail? She's the pale one with the purple hair."
The pale one.
The pale one. Not like, you know, any other way of describing that person. Like, she plays the flute. Fuck it. She's a multi-instrumentalist. She plays the flute and drum. Minimum, she plays two instruments. She is excited about minerals in all kinds of ways. She loves video games. She
has swords. Swords.
She maybe the secret sword.
At least one sword.
Well, maybe it's a secret, though.
Yeah. True. No, that's not true anymore. Because of the cutscene that we talked about in the last episode, Pierre walks in on us because he was hiding in that bush as she is talking about being, doing sword stuff at the graveyard.
Well,
the cemetery. Yes. So he knows about the sword.
Potentially. But this is our first meeting with Caroline.
True.
I mean.
True.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know if potentially maybe Abigail was doing swordsmanship practice in private or in secret or maybe not at all. And she had been, you know, emboldened potentially by my swordsmanship.
She was like, you know what?
Clang, clang.
That could be me.
I could clang.
I'm
down to clang.
Yeah.
Down to clang.
Yeah. First of all, I love the idea of just Abigail being called the pale one because we're literally discussing as a friend group right now having a vampire movie marathon.
It's true, yeah. So, and the pale one?
The pale one would be a great movie.
I mean, if it's not already, then we need to stop this podcast right now.
The pale one, starring Abigail.
Yeah.
The amethyst eater.
Apparently it's a dragon in God of War. Ah, and a 2020... I'm losing the plot here, folks. Shirley, back to you.
Okay, so it makes me just really sad how the very first time I meet her mom, she's talking about her daughter, talking about her parents. It might sound like absolutely nothing, but to me, I know that this is 1,000 tiny paper cuts.
Yes.
Absolutely destroying the relationship between them, because you're talking about the physical appearance, which is just not necessary. There's so much, like you mentioned.
To a stranger. The first time you meet this stranger, you immediately talk about your daughter's body.
Yeah.
What?
And no offense, but your body is like the least interesting thing about you.
See for yourself.
For me specifically, I think
Her girlfriend.
For Abigail specifically, I want to know what she's thinking about, what she likes, her interests, and you know, then there's everything else. But then the physical comments continue. So it's like, that's not the only time. She also says again, is it just me or does Abigail look a little pale? Maybe I'm just worrying about her too much. Why are you talking to me about this?
Like, is it low iron? If that's the case, once again, talk to her. Talk to Harvey. What are we doing? Like, then another one. These are just such a bummer as well. If you are married to Abigail, again, a scenario I will never get into. And not because of Abigail. I love her so much. And I'm in a long-term committed relationship with her and also now Sebastian. Quote, dinner's been a lot quieter since Abigail moved out. No, not because she used to chew with her mouth open. Fuck off!
Like, we had a moment of sincerity. I could feel that maybe you actually miss your daughter. No, let me just ram that right in. I'm gonna talk about her mouth open as she's eating. Yeah.
And like, no, like, I know she's a gross little troll. That's part of it for me. That's part of it for me. And like, what are we talking about? And then again, like, constantly going on about like, the codependency is so wild. Quote, how's Abigail's health? She's always been such a pale girl. Hopefully the farm lifestyle puts a little color in her cheeks. I'm gonna put some fucking color in your cheeks if you don't fucking stop talking about my wife that way.
Yeah, aka also non-wife, because you're not married. But yeah.
But in this scenario, yeah. These are quotes that are only triggered once we get married to them, which I won't. But if I did, then I would, and I would have to. But
I hate when people back-channel shit. Like, if you have something to say, just say it to my face. Just say it. Don't talk to someone else like, oh, do you think Shirley has low iron? Yes, I do.
Probably.
I've gone to the doctor and they were like, considered? I went to the doctor and then they turned to my spouse. I'm really concerned how pale Shirley is.
Yeah. Yeah. Low iron, folks, it's no joke.
Yeah. No, but anyone can have low iron. And the point of that is like, she doesn't need to be talking to me about that.
No, what do I have to do with this?
And then the other thing she says about, again, her person is, shouldn't she leave her hair a more natural color? She would be really beautiful if she had her chestnut colored hair. I'm like, honestly, just leave me alone at this point. Like, yeah. It's just not necessary.
I don't need to be talking about this with my mother-in-law.
Yeah, I don't like this. And then if she's not complaining about her body, she's complaining about her interests. I'm like,
I love her interests.
Do you not love your daughter?
And you know what, Shirley? From my experience, sometimes the answer to that question is no.
Yeah. I do think that Karen Lane potentially does love her, but she is being eaten up by her own secrets and her own bullshit, and she's letting that get in the way.
My thing is that you can love someone, and unless you love them in ways that they also interpret as being loved in, then maybe not. Because if I'm like, Shirley, I love you. And to show the fact that I love you, I'm gonna pinch you a little bit every time I see you. I'm just gonna give you a really hard, fast little pinch. And then you're like, actually, that does not feel like love to me. That feels like you're hurting me. Please stop. And then I go, no, that's how I love you. That's me loving you. That's a no-go.
Yeah.
That's not me loving you.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I think a lot of times people abide by something called the golden rule, which is like, do unto others as you would have like done unto you, or like whatever. By the way, I don't remember who made the names for these rules, so if they're terrible people, let me know and I'll stop using
them. Yeah, right in. startupspodcast@gmail.com. Tell us how we can be better.
But the other rule is the platinum rule, which is like, do unto others how they want, like, unto them or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, like, if someone wants to be loved in a way where it's like, hey, I don't know, care about my fucking interests and treat me like a human being and don't talk about my body, maybe that's how they want to be loved.
Mom.
Caroline.
Oh.
Mom.
Yeah. It's just so wild. And, like, the whole thing of, like, again, with the point of, like, wouldn't it be better to have her natural colored hair? But, like, wouldn't this? That, like, that's actually been something that I've dealt with in a past relationship is, like, my, at the time, partner, their parents being like, wouldn't you like them so much better if they were, like, if they looked like this? And I think I eventually was just like, hey, so they don't actually make any comments or tell me to change my appearance. So it feels inappropriate that I would do that to them. And they seem to have maybe finally put that together. But I was like, whoa, it's wild. Yeah, I know there's like a lot of speculation about like Abigail being potentially the wizard's kid. But we do know that she dyes her hair. And we do know that she has natural, like her natural hair color seems to be kind of like Pierre's hair color. So like, yeah, maybe Caroline was having an affair with a wizard. And also, maybe Abigail is unfortunately still Pierre's kid.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I would prefer that she would be the wizard's kid, well, just for the drama of it all. And because maybe she would have magical abilities. But yeah, to the point of that she hates her interests, she'll say shit like, I wish Abby wouldn't spend so much time in her room. Abby's always had a strange interest in the occult. I'm not sure where she gets him from.
Which is very funny. Very funny coming from Caroline. Which is like, sorry, ma'am, like, you divulged to me that you used to take secret walks to the wizard's tower?
Yes.
To experience his joystick, ostensibly?
No.
Surely you hate that. I'm gonna say it like two more times, maximum.
I'm gonna take a big deep breath in. And I'm gonna just, I've already breathed because this is how bad I am at breathing. I'm gonna take that breath in because I like it.
Well, you were holding your breath, right? Because you were just breathing through your nose. And longtime listeners, aka for the last two episodes, will know that there was some confusion about what holding your breath entailed.
It is my very first rodeo. I'm figuring this out.
It's my first time.
But yeah, she's also like, is it just me or does Abigail have an unhealthy interest in doom and gloom? Maybe I'm just too old to understand. Honestly, Caroline, like, ma'am, you're not that old. You're just closed-minded.
Yeah. She, like, is she, I don't even know, like, early to mid-40s?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's, you know,
old is a state of mind.
Yeah, and
old is a state of mind. But I want to be really, really critical that, like, I do think that you don't become an adult for some time. Like, there is a whole thing about your prefrontal cortex coming in at age 27. But for her to say she's too old to understand means to me that she has decided, I no longer want to learn. And I don't want to grow as a human being. I'm unwilling to see another perspective. Yeah. I am now just going to judge you. And, like, that's boomer logic.
The prefrontal cortex comes in, it develops, and then it calcifies.
We're going to throw that away.
We're going to scoop that right out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then the next quote that we have from her, again, is it just me or does Abigail play too many video games? Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. First of all, yes, you are, Caroline, too old-fashioned. And then secondly, video games, the things that have been shown to slow, if not reverse, the signs of Alzheimer's, those ones?
It's obviously very clear that Caroline does not listen to this podcast.
I don't think so.
Because then she would have learned something. But, yeah.
Like what? Like how to use a hoe?
Yeah. But, you know, she could play video games with Abigail. She could connect with her. But you know how she remembers Abigail?
Pale.
She remembers Abigail to be pale. She also is like, Abigail loves the egg hunt.
Right. Like, legitimate child stuff.
Abigail does not love the egg hunt. I think that Abigail would like to stop doing the egg hunt, but that's, like, a way for her to continue to be connected with her mother. I mean, she has a lot of quotes True. Of, like, I can't wait to win, I'm gonna get into it. But is she so obsessed with this event because it's the only thing that Caroline remembers and cares about and gives her praise for?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It feels like one of those things where it's like somebody who doesn't really know you learns that you like a thing. And then it's like every gift that they give you, they're like, oh yeah, you like, you play the trumpet, right? And you're like, no, I actually haven't played the trumpet since middle school. But Thanks.
Were you... I'm just imagining this person who says, I play the trumpet, and then people just keep gifting them trumpets.
And that's how a lot of algorithms work. They're like, you bought a dining table? Well, here's a dining table and a dining table and a dining table and a kitchenette and a dining table. And you know what? Charlie, I'm just trying not to come up with too many examples that are going to hit too close to home for me and have me crying on main.
Yeah, you might be. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I mean, I want her to connect with her kid, and she's obviously not doing that. So before we get into a cutscene that breaks my heart, I also want to discuss that when we hear Caroline talking about Abigail, I feel like a lot of times it's riddled with just nostalgia. Like, it's clear to me that I think that Caroline misses her youth, and she also wishes that she had done things differently, because she complains a lot about her husband. He's super old-fashioned, he's really into the general store, he doesn't spend a lot of time with us. So Caroline is obviously also feeling lonely,
right,
in this kind world. Kind
of transferring that, maybe.
Doesn't mean that she's right to do that at
all. No, of course. Yeah. Oh, trust me, just because somebody, you know, went through some bad stuff, bad things were done to them, doesn't mean that they get to do bad stuff to you.
Exactly.
Hey, everybody, quick PSA. Just because bad stuff has happened to somebody else or bad things were done to them, that doesn't mean that they have a reason to do bad stuff to you. You know, that's just apropos of nothing. Anyways, Shirley, what were you saying? Are you laughing?
No, we're both literally cocooning ourselves.
I know, I'm like up to my eyeballs in my sweatshirt.
I'm not laughing at all about what you were saying. I'm laughing in the sense of, we can tell that we're getting into like more dangerous and dangerous emotional territory.
Yep.
She's like, just cover yourself. Being cursed.
This is a by content a ghost. Warning for myself.
There's a ghost here.
And it's me, and I'm haunting myself.
Yeah. Because I think Caroline is taking out the frustrations that she's feeling about her life and how little she has progressed towards the things that she cares about because of her marriage. She's projecting that onto her daughter, pushing her daughter to be someone she's not, which only further distances her daughter from her.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's
a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Literally never worse in the other way. Like, I don't understand what people think. Like, obviously, if I push you really hard to be someone else, we're gonna be so connected. Like, no.
Then you'll be someone else, and we'll be very connected, because then I will get to know you, a stranger, better. What?
Yeah. So that's happening a lot. And she is just creating that rift, making that rift be bigger and bigger. And then she also is asking about her, again, in roundabout ways. So I just don't like when she'll say things like, Abby was taking online classes here, but I don't think her heart was really into it. She's a free spirit like I was before I met Pierre. She's probably having the time of her life on your farm. Like, none of it ever feels like a real positive compliment or something. Yeah. It's just always weird. It feels icky.
It's never like 100% like, wow, she must be having a great time on the farm. Or like, hey, is she sticking with those online classes? Or like, what? Like, what's new? What's going on? Instead, it's like, I was so free before I met Pierre. Like, oh my God. Why are you telling me this?
Leave him.
Leave him.
Dump him.
Literally. And like, there's so much terrible stuff here.
Yeah. So.
Do you want to do a little acting?
Yeah. The sixth heart event for Caroline is one that just continues to break my heart, because it shows how much they are not really understanding each other. Because it's definitely, like, they're both not understanding each other. It is the parents' responsibility to make it a safe place and safe environment. But it also makes it difficult for Abigail, I think, to understand where Caroline's coming from. Because Caroline's probably not really telling her the truth. Because she never fully addresses the situation with the wizard. And then she's also having active fights and issues with Pierre. And before we even get into this cutscene, I need to remind you that the general store is in the middle of town.
Literally.
Everyone is hearing this.
There's a temple there. That's what the temple is.
Everyone's privy to this drama day and night. They can sense the tension. Mm. Once Jojamar is out, that's kind of like the only place you can get food there.
Ugh, food desert.
a food desert. And now we have to deal with their family bullshit because they're not really connecting properly. That's how that happens. So when we walk in to the Six Heart event, it is essentially us walking into that family bullshit. It starts with, we enter the store and we can hear Caroline and Abigail having an argument in the kitchen. Do you want to be Abigail or do you want to be Caroline?
I'll be Caroline just to switch things up.
Okay, great. So we're walking into the general store, by the way, and...
The farmer,
yes. And no one knows that we're walking in. They're having...
No one ever seems to know we're fucking walking in.
No one knows we're here, and they should know. There should be at least some kind of system, maybe a little bell on the door. A little bell,
anything.
Because I feel like the general store would be one of the stores that has a little bell when you walk in, like, clink, clink, welcome to Pierre's General Store. Be like, shut up, Pierre, I know who you are.
Shut up, Belle. I know where I am.
Yeah. But a warning system would be great.
A warning system. Caution. You're entering Pierre's General Store.
Yes. Honestly, he would totally have a system that would say that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But none of that exists in this world. No. So we walk in, and the farmer immediately catches a fight between Abigail and Caroline. I'm Abigail.
I'm Caroline.
Hold on, let me get into the scene. Let me tap into all of my repressed anger.
Oh no, don't do that. I'm no longer Caroline.
I'm just kidding. Stop telling me how to live my life.
Hey, cut it out. We're letting you live here free of charge until you finish school. It seems like you don't appreciate that at all.
Stop trying to make me feel guilty. I appreciate that you and Dad are helping me out, but expecting me to dress the way you want is ridiculous. I'm not a little girl anymore, Mom.
You're right. I'm sorry.
End scene. But that is the dialogue. I feel like Caroline should have also said, oh, so you think I'm the worst mom? Like, she definitely would have done that. So they stop talking. Abigail turns towards the door where you're hiding, where I'm hiding.
I'm not hiding. I just walked in and this started happening.
I know, but the farmer doesn't tell anyone that we're there. So after that interaction, Abigail turns towards the door where the farmer is hiding and asks, is anyone out there? We, the farmer, do not respond. We actually run away.
Weird behavior.
Very weird behavior. Like, I could have said something.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I walk out the farmer. Abigail says out loud, I don't know if she's actually still talking to her mom or not, and she says, I swear this house is haunted. And that's kind of like the end of that cutscene. Then she comes out of the kitchen, and when we interact with her next, she says, this is after the cutscene is over, sorry, I was fighting with my mom earlier. And that's kind of it for that.
That's so sad. Yeah, and like that apology, like there's some apologies, and this is maybe just my bullshit, there's some apologies that they sound like I'm sorry, but they feel like shut up. And that was one of them.
Because she's telling her mom, stop trying to make me feel guilty. I appreciate that you and Dad are helping me out, because she's in school.
Yeah.
During this time. The fact that they're expecting her to dress another way is ridiculous. She's not a little girl anymore. That is an interesting place to be in. I definitely remember feeling that when I moved back home, like in my early 20s. Mm. After I left home the first time, that dynamic shifted completely. Like, the moment you first leave home and you are under your own rules.
Yes.
When do you return? What is your schedule? Mm-hmm. Who's keeping up with you kind of thing? Who's controlling your movements? And then I moved back home and I had to, like, say, where am I going? What am I doing? Where are you there? Call me when you leave. Like, it was really hard for me to handle that shift and that dynamic. And Abigail could be in her early 20s. She could also be later in her years.
Yep.
We don't know. She's in school. She's getting helped out. But they're also trying to force her to be someone else. And that is not great at all.
Yeah. And there's so many things that, like, are so clearly unresolved just with Caroline, like, in and of herself. Ugh. Like you mentioned about her talking about how she was so free or whatever before she met Pierre. She says that a lot. She mentions several times that she misses her youth. She wishes that things had been done differently. I think Abigail, in a lot of ways, is kind of living that life that Caroline sort of wanted. Really free, doing whatever she wants. Like, she's in a band. That's so cool. She's a rebel. She has an unconventional schedule at best. And I think that Caroline really, I mean, she admits that she misses what her life was like before Pierre sort of, like, I don't know, like, kind of clamped down. And the quote about her being a free spirit, quote, like I was before I met Pierre, so sad. And, like, I know it's just so difficult when your parent ostensibly wants you to have the life they would have wanted to have. And then once you achieve that, then they're mad at you.
Yeah. Then you're punished for living the life that they would have wanted.
Yeah.
That they also want for you, but now they don't want it for you because you have it.
Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's bizarre.
Yeah, because Abigail is her own person. She has her own activities that we've mentioned before. And then you want her to dress differently. And then this adds on top of it. So this is Caroline's sixth heart event. And at the same time, we have Abigail's sixth heart event, which is the episode at the graveyard. So
right,
these could be happening around the same time if you're interacting with everyone in town in, like, the same kind of cadence kind of thing. Especially for Caroline and Abigail, like, they tend to be in the general store together, so you can have that. So not only are we learning about them fighting because Caroline is wanting her to be someone else, but then we also have Abigail's sixth heart event.
Yeah.
It's, like, really forcing her to be someone else and stop doing what she's doing.
Yeah. And for me, a big part of, like, the interaction with Pierre is, on one hand, it's like Abigail and Caroline in Caroline's sixth heart event having this moment of tension between them. And then there's also showing on Abigail's sixth heart event that Pierre is such a large controlling force in both of their lives. It is just so sad. Like, of course, Abigail continues to seek connection and praise from her mom, like you mentioned earlier with the egg hunt, and Abigail's still, despite being however old she is, participating in that with me. I guess I'm also participating in that, real head scratcher, but with, like, the characters who are more widely known as, like, kids. So very strange. But yeah, Caroline and Abigail, there's evidence there of that Caroline is still seeking that connection. And with quotes like with the egg hunt, Abby's always loved the egg hunt ever since she was a little girl, like you mentioned earlier. And then another one, quote, fall is Abby's favorite season, so I'm hoping she'll come out of her room more often.
Yeah. Like, she wants to have the connection, but she's going about it in a really backwards way of, let me ridicule you, let me make you feel other, let me make you feel smaller, and I hope you'll want to talk to me. Like, no, yeah. Caroline. That's not how that works at all. If you actually got to know Abigail, maybe that would happen. But I think that what, for me, could be potentially happening is that if we go down the theory that potentially Caroline and the wizard were together and she is the wizard's kid, the guilt is eating her up and she's really projecting that onto Abigail and also punishing her for being related to the wizard.
True.
But if it isn't that, I think she's also just jealous. And that happens a lot too, that she's jealous that Abigail has a life, so then she's forcing her to be different.
Yeah. So you've touched on the most frequently referenced theory that we get from our dear listeners via our emails, and that is that the wizard might actually be Abigail's biological father. Of course, there's that first, like, purple equals purple. Well, they both have purple hair.
The math is math.
The math could be mathing.
Yeah.
We do know, however, like you've mentioned, that Abigail dyes her hair and her natural hair color is closer to Pierre's. And I don't know how genetics work in this world, especially. And Caroline has green hair. Could Abigail still be the wizard's child and have light chestnut hair? Maybe.
Because we don't know if Caroline dyes her hair or not.
That's true.
That's actually never proven. So
yeah,
it could be happening. I think it's the sadder of the two that even if the wizard is her father, I still think that Caroline is jealous of Abigail.
Yeah.
For having freedom. Too. And that's really sad to me because, as I have said repeatedly, like, just dump him.
Yeah.
Leave that man.
Completely.
Your daughter knows how to get off this area, this land. Get on the bus, get on the ship, get out of here.
Absolutely. And I was just, oh my God, speaking of even sadder, I was thinking about, like, yeah, what if Caroline was having an affair with the wizard? And there potentially was a point in time where she was like, oh, I am pregnant and I'm not 100% sure whose baby I am pregnant with. And then maybe that was something that became, like, obvious when she gave birth. And if in the instance of, like, Abigail is Pierre's daughter, and that was, like, made clear immediately by the, like, okay, well, she has not purple hair. She has light chestnut hair. Then maybe Caroline is also grieving that life that she almost was like, if this baby is born with purple hair, then I will have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will be unavoidable, and this, and my life will have to change.
Yeah.
And in seeing this little baby, which is Abigail, with the light chestnut hair, that sort of like cemented that reality for her, that she was like, yeah, the other door is closed, and this is my life now, and I can't avoid it anymore.
Yeah, no matter what, like, her life has, I mean, the act of having a child, like, if you're gonna have a kid, like, you better think about that, because it is life-altering no matter what happens. But for her, as you just said, like, it could have been the wizard, potentially. And now she doesn't live in a magical tower. She lives in the general store with this money-hungry capitalist guy who doesn't really spend a lot of time with her or her kid, is trying to upcharge everyone in town by, like,
yeah,
100x or something. I don't even know the math, like, of it, but there was like one cutscene where he's like, oh, I mean, I could charge these people $10,000 for this organic seed. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm the only person bringing in money into this town. Like, why are you doing this? And she's sad. And I hope, let's actually end this episode with, what do you hope that relationship can be like in the future? Because again, the game is going to continue to grow and expand, and maybe we can have an alternate reality here or something. I mean, it doesn't have to be resolved, because I do like how the game feels very open-ended, and like, not everything or anything really gets resolved. People grow, but things don't necessarily get resolved. But I would like for the relationship dynamic to be slightly different.
Well, sure. And that's not always possible. Sorry to bring you this week's fucking feel bad bummer theory, but I guess that's what I've got.
Yeah.
Last true time story. It was Sandy. This time it's this.
I hope for them that Caroline can start appreciating at least one interest that Abigail has, and maybe connect via the tea space. Invite your daughter. Does your daughter even know that you have a little greenhouse?
The greenhouse, Caroline's greenhouse, is one of the most beautiful little moments in this game. Per square footage, that's one of the most whimsical spaces. It's got a beautiful little water feature. It's got a tea sapling. It's so beautiful. And especially if, like, for example, Abigail's interested in not just, like, magic, but, like, mundane magic as well. And I'm biased in this because I love gardening. I am a gardener. But gardening is mundane magic.
Mm-hmm.
And if Abigail is already expressing interest and literally putting it in her schedule that she's hanging out with Robin, that's great. Let's learn more about how we can build magic into our everyday and transform the world around us.
Maybe in 1.7, we can introduce a book about herbalism. And it's a class being taught by Caroline. Abigail attends, is like, hey, Mom, you've got cool thoughts. Maybe you'd like to connect as adults. Caroline says, yes, that's a possibility. I'll take that. She doesn't even have to be really excited. Maybe they have a little interaction like that. And then, you know, we learn a little bit more about each other. But I appreciate how this game is pretty close to reality. But I also wish that it wasn't.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice. So.
I think it's been pretty clear today that there's some parts of this reality that are a little too real.
I definitely agree. Wherever you are and whatever relationship you have with whoever your parents, guardians, friends, whoever is taking care of you is, I hope that it is at worst tolerable, and at best you actually like each other. So I am wishing you all the very best, and I think this concludes our story. for Abigail.
I think it does, at least for today.
At least for today. The end. Cut the brakes.
Cut the brakes. Don't point that ghost at me.
Don't point that ghost at me.
Quit playing with my harp.
Quit playing games with my harp.
How many hours did we record for today?
1700. Bye.
Thank you for listening. And if you have some Stardrop tea to share with us, email stardropteapodcast@gmail.com.
Follow to get all of our upcoming episodes as soon as they land and rate this episode 5 Stardrops.
Our cover art is by Brianne Burnell and our theme music is by Eggward. Links to both their work are in show notes.
Make sure to take good care of yourself and your community. Bye.
Bye.